There's something really wonderful about standing here when you're down there and listening to you sing America the Beautiful. I tell you, I about got goosebumps, Ellie. You have such a marvelous voice for that. I also wanted to take one moment before I begin and call your attention to, you'll see some booklets in the pew rack probably in front of you. Are they there? These are new picture directories. They are to remain in the pew, please. And those are for you in case you look at someone and you can't remember their name. It helps. Because learning names is an important thing around here, so feel free to use them. But they all should be put back in the pew racks right now. As most of you know, Kathy and I just returned from the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches annual meeting, which was held this year over in Detroit, the place of our association's founding. We had the convention at the Hilton there, a ways inland, but Kathy and I got lucky and we had an amazing view from our sixth floor room. Over in the distance, we could see the lights of the Ambassador Bridge to Canada light up at night. And on Tuesday night, it was the perfect vantage point to see an amazing fireworks display sponsored by the Ford Motor Company. For Detroit, it is really the traditional beginning of the 4th of July celebrations and the summer season of rest. The arrival of July, the end of our national convention, the family gatherings with the big Independence Day national party all kind of, for me, marked the beginning of vacation time. June can be just plain busy, but the start of July signals a kind of collective sigh of relief. Just look into the faces of anyone you know who is a teacher. By the 4th of July, I think, though, we settle into a new set of routines that aren't routine at all. We stay up later because it's not even getting dark until almost 10 o'clock. Or we get up earlier because dawn arrives at 5 o'clock in the morning and Teddy wants to play. And of course, July is the first month where we really start to go on our long-planned, long-awaited vacation. There are really, I think, two kinds of vacationers in this world. There are those who pack up a pair of shorts and a swimsuit and a stack of books. These are vacationers that are committed to doing as little as humanly possible for an entire week. They like to read and sun and nap and eat and drink and sleep again. These are vacationers who rest literally by resting. But there is a second type of vacationer that tries to pack as much into their days off as is humanly possible. They sail and they fish and they hike and they shop and they crawl through the museums and they really horse race through their week. Anything out of their ordinary routine is explored and experienced and enjoyed. These are vacationers who rest by doing new things in new places. You know, both of those types of vacationers are celebrating their time of rest in ways that suits them, that relaxes them, that fulfills them, and restores them. What kind of rest do you crave? What is your ideal resting place? I think in both cases, this rest involves an emptying out and refilling or refueling. A vacation empties out our stuffy stockpile of routines and rat races and regulations. But a vacation, whether luxuriously lazy or jam-packed and wild, a vacation fills our heads with new dreams and our hands with new activities, our hearts with renewed relationships. The New Testament offers the classic distinction between these two types of souls in the examples of Martha and Mary. Their story has long been one of the most treasured narratives in the Scripture. I mean, who of us doesn't identify in some way with the hard-working Martha, frustrated with her captivated sister at the feet of our Lord? And who doesn't admire the single-minded devotion of Mary? You remember the story, don't you? Jesus entered a certain village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're bothered about so many things, but only a few are necessary. Really, only one, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, who could offer such a different dimension of discipleship as the two images of sitting Mary and stirring Martha? Excuse me. For Martha, fulfillment was found in a round of activities that took care of and served the needs of Jesus, and in listening while doing. For Mary, fulfillment came from soaking up and soaking in the sheer presence of Jesus, observing and internalizing all that Jesus did and said. Well, in today's gospel, Jesus' invitation to his new disciples combines these two experiences, that of the sitting Mary and the stirring Martha. In fact, in today's text, Jesus presents a rhythm of discipleship that combines both sitting and stirring. Both contemplation and action must dwell in the disciple's heart. But you know, you have to notice which here comes first. To all who are weary, to all who feel the weighty burden of strained faithfulness, Jesus offers rest. The offer of rest comes first. Jesus promised that the rivers of living water would flow from the hearts of his disciples. In fact, in John's gospel, Jesus is quoted saying, "The water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." But you know, if we ourselves aren't rested, if we're not renewed and refreshed, we can't share that water of eternal life with others. Only if your bucket is filled can you joyously share with others from the springs of salvation. I think that's one of the reasons in the Jewish tradition that each new day begins at sunset, after the day's work is done and it's time for home and for bed. Each new day begins with rest. Likewise, the true Christian Sabbath begins a new week as the sun sets on the old and starts that fresh week with a specific directive to rest. So it is that Jesus' first offer to his new disciples is that of rest, of a break from our old lives and of freedom from the burdens we tried to bear alone. And yet, rest isn't all that discipleship is about. Jesus is offering here a vacation with a vocation. Rest, Jesus says, by taking up my yoke. A yoke that will enable followers to learn from Jesus, to hear and to understand His words and His mission with a clarity and a confidence that not even the pious and educated Pharisees could match. Now, the yoke that Jesus refers to here is well illustrated by the process of the way they train young bullocks to plow. In some parts of the world, the farmer will have the young bullock harnessed to the same yoke as a mature ox. The bullock, dwarfed by the other animal, will not really even be pulling any of the weight. It's merely learning to walk in a field under control, with a yoke around its neck. The ox is pulling all the weight. It's the same thing when a believer takes on Christ's yoke. The yoke is easy, and the burden is light, as the Christian learns. Now, a yoked disciple is both a sitting Mary and a stirring Martha. A soul simultaneously at rest and at work for the kingdom. The discipleship to which Jesus calls us is a life where there is no real distinction between work and play and labor and rest, action and contemplation. For in Christ, both are joyously the same. We all need to take an occasional vacation from our job. Even Jesus had a rhythm of contemplation and then action. He periodically came apart to the mountains or to the desert or to the water. And we too need to come apart so that we don't come apart. The life of faith is finding the unique personal rhythm of sitting and stirring. And it'll be different for each one of us. But as disciples, we will never take a vacation from the vocation of Christ's yoke of love, of sacrifice, of grace, of infleshing Christ's presence in today's world. Our work is our play, our identity as disciples of Christ is a rest from a world of weighty burdens. And our work for the continuing incarnation of the kingdom of God and the love of Christ brings joy of the play. My bottom line, I guess, as we begin our summer season of rest is to include that contemplation, include that service. And I think we will all find refreshment and a deeper life of faith. Amen.
There's a lot on the caring corner this morning. At the death of Rita Wareham, who passed away on Monday, June 20th, memorial service will be held on Wednesday, July 6th at the chapel at the Congregational Home. Visitation is 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. with a service to follow. In rehab, Sue Godfrey is recovering from knee surgery at the Congregational Home. Charlie Goldsmith, the prior chaplain at the Congregational Home, is also in rehab there. And George Nortman is at the Congregational Home. We pray for them and, of course, pray for their family members. In our prayers, we have Kenneth and Sue Blado and their children, Benjamin and Kristen, as they mourn the loss of Sandra Blado, who passed away on June 28th. Services are planned for Tuesday, July 5th at 7 o'clock p.m. at Becker Ritter Funeral Home on North Avenue in Brookfield. Ann Steinmetz Harris and family, as they mourn the loss of her mother, Celeste Steinmetz, who passed away on Tuesday, June 26th. Services will be held on Friday, July 8th, at 11 a.m. in the chapel here. Dr. Bob Henschel and his family, as they mourn the loss of his wife, Katie Henschel, who passed away on Monday, June 20th, and services were held. Gail Tanger and her family, as they mourn the loss of Gail's mother, Elaine Foose. and Merrill and Mary York and family as they mourn the loss of Merrill's mother, Edith York, who passed away on June 29th. Services are pending. We also pray that what was experienced and learned at the NACCC conference this last week be continued in all the local churches. We pray for those undergoing surgery in the coming week. And also we pray for those intentions of those around us. There are many people who are not listed in the caring corner, but who have requested prayers and need prayers. So we pray for our intentions, but we also thank God for the blessings that we have received individually, the blessings that we have received in this church, and the blessings of our nation, especially in this world and the problems that our world is experiencing. Let us now pray in silence.